Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last breath. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Bless these next few minutes. You know what we've brought in here. You know the hurts. You know the baggage. You know the victories and the celebrations. God, use your word today to draw us, to challenge us, to push us closer to you. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. We're nearing the end. Jesus' life is almost over. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here because it's very, very significant. At the very beginning of verse 44, it says it was about noon and darkness came over the whole land until 3. So just imagine today at noon, it got pitch black. All the sun goes away, all the clouds come out, and now it is dark. It's in the middle of the day, but it goes dark from noon till 3 o'clock. And what we see here is creation is responding to what is happening. Creation is responding to this moment. This isn't just a moment of power. This is a moment of judgment. Understand what I'm trying to help you see here, all right? Creation is groaning under the weight of everything that's going on. Because in this moment, Jesus isn't just suffering physically. Here's what is happening. All of the sins of the world are now being put upon Jesus. A very dark, dark moment. The light of the world, the one that God created to be the light of the world, is now covered in darkness. And creation itself is groaning. The very one who created the sun, the very one who created everything, is now hanging under a darkened sky. Why? Because your sin and my sin had to be dealt with. Every sin that you and I have ever committed and the ones before us had to be dealt with. So now the sky is dark. Creation is crying out in this dark, sad moment because sin had to be dealt with. Now, I love how the Bible always brings things together. Because if you look back in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to give you one verse, Amos chapter 8, verse number 9. Look at this. Look what the prophet spoke of. In that day, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the land in the daytime. This is God years and years and years before Jesus ever come foretelling this is what was going to happen. And this is so heaven, this is so heavy that creation could not celebrate, so it mourned. And so we see that darkness came upon the land, Jesus on the cross from noon to 3. And then look what Luke says next. Look what he says next there in verse 45. Because the sun's light failed. And then it says this, the curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle. Now what in the world is he talking about? The curtain of the sanctuary is split down the middle. So Luke tells of this curtain being split. Now this wasn't just any ordinary curtain. This wasn't in someone's house. This was what the Bible declares as the veil that separated the most holy place on earth. The Bible called it the Holy of Holies. That even the priests couldn't go into this area where the presence of God was, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, let me show you this picture here, all right? And I tried to make it a little bit big so everybody can see. This is kind of Solomon's colonnade. This is what he built here for the Lord. This is the temple. And right here, this part right here, this pink line, this is where the curtain was. This is where the veil was. Only the high priest, the highest of all priests, was allowed to go in here. And he was only allowed to go in here once a year. And if he had any sin in his life, he would immediately die. And they would put a rope around his waist just in case he had sin. And so they could pull him out because you couldn't go in there and get him. And so this curtain is there separating this holy, holy place where God's presence was. It was such a holy place that there had to be something there in the way. And now here's Luke telling the story years later when Jesus dies on the cross and he says, the curtain of the sanctuary was split. What is he saying? Why is that a thing? Why is that in the Bible? What does that really mean? But at the moment Jesus died, the curtain splits. Now let me show you this next photo. Now obviously this isn't an original photo, okay? All right. But I want you to see something. Many scholars say that the curtain was 60 feet tall and 30 feet wide. Many scholars say the curtain itself was about 4 inches thick, all right? And here's what God did. And notice even in this picture, I want you to see that the Bible specifically says the curtain was torn from the top down. Because only God could tear the curtain from the top down. Man could have been at the bottom and tore the curtain from the bottom up. But only God could make sure, not from the bottom up, but from the top down. Because this wasn't, here's the significance of this. This wasn't man trying to get to God. This was God trying to get to us. That's why this curtain had to be torn. Now imagine, let's just bring it to 2026, right? Imagine a do not enter sign. Right? Imagine a sign that says, do not enter your whole entire life. And then when Jesus dies, then the sign changes to everybody's welcome. Come on in. And that's exactly what is happening right here in Luke chapter 23. Jesus dies. The temple veil is torn in half from the top down. Because this is exactly what God wanted. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew, because Jesus took your sin, now you have access to the Father. It's not just one person. It's not just you have to get all cleaned up. It's not that you have to sacrifice an animal and pull the blood of the first animal. Like, now anybody can get to Jesus. Anybody has access to the Father. And then we see one of the most powerful prayers in all of the Bible. The Son of God hanging on a cross. And then his final breath, Jesus prays this in verse 26. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. What a convicting prayer. After betrayal, after accusations, after beatings, after nails, Father, I trust you. How is he still praying in the midst of such hardship? How is he still just reaching out to God going, man, I entrust my spirit to you. This is what I want you to have. This is what I want you to man, just take my spirit, God. See, prayer was Jesus' first instinct. It's what he ran to any time in his life. And to me, it's so convicting because a lot of us, we treat prayer like our last resort. A lot of us, we treat prayer like, man, when everything else fails, man, we better start praying. When there's nowhere else to turn, man, we should probably bring God into this. But Jesus shows us something different. Prayer is not something you run to when you run out of options. Prayer has to be the place where you start, and prayer has to be the place where you finish. And let me just say this today, church. If prayer isn't your first instinct, it's probably not going to be your final response. And we have to move, and I pray that God would challenge us that our first instinct would be to turn to God. Now, here's how my very simple mind thinks. How in the world do we get to that place? How do we get to the place where prayer is my first instinct? What do I need to do in my life? What changes do I need? Well, like help me, what caused Jesus to let prayer be his first instinct and his last response? And this is there's one word there's one word that keeps coming to my mind, and it's trust. Trust. Why am I able to run to God when things are going great? Trust. Why am I able to turn to God when things are going horrible? Trust. Why am I able to continue to go back to him even though I feel like I'm running out of options? Trust. Jesus says, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Everything that Jesus was going through, he trusted God. His actions, his word, his prayers were the proof. But this is where it hits me today, church, and this is what I want you to, we're gonna park here just for a minute. Most of us trust God as long as things are going my way. As long as I like what I see in my life, as long as there's not a ton of hardship, as long as everything seems to be pretty decent, we trust him when the outcome makes sense to us. We trust him when things are going really well. But real trust shows up when you don't know what's gonna happen next. That's real trust. When you can't figure it out, that's real trust. Fellas, when we can't fix it, that's when real trust begins to show up. And here's something that I'm learning. Can I just be honest with you? I'm still learning this. Prayer is an act of trust when you cannot control the outcome. What is prayer? Why do we do this? Prayer is me giving God my trust because I know I can't make it happen on my own. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. And maybe for some of you here right now, there's no doubt in my mind, some of you here right now, you're praying and you don't know the outcome. You've prayed and you've asked God to change the situation. You've asked God to change the person. And now you're left with the question, can I still trust God? He's not doing what I've asked him to do. He's not showing up. He's not changing the situation. Nothing's different. Why, God, why? And you have questions. And the question, the biggest question of all is, do I still trust him? Can I trust God with what's going on in my life? When it's not going how I planned and it's not going how I want it to or how I wished it to or how I prayed it to, can I still trust God? And I think today what we're seeing right here in this story is that Jesus on the cross answers that question for us, and he answers it with his life. And the answer is yes. Can I still trust God? Yes. Church, I want you to hear this today, that no matter what you're going through in life, you can still trust God. How do I know? Because of the power of the cross. Only because of the cross. It is only because of the cross that we can continue to say yes to Jesus. I asked you this question a few weeks ago. If Jesus did nothing else for you in your life, if he never answered another prayer, is the cross enough for you? And if you really stop and think about it, the answer has to be yes. Now, I've been preparing this all week, and I want to talk to those of you in the room that would consider yourself a Christian. If you consider yourself a follower of Christ, if you've not made that decision or you're unsure about that decision, just take a little 30-second break, all right? But everybody else, I want to talk to you. Christians listening to this, I want to press in on this and I want to challenge you a little bit deeper today, all right? Because here's what I think. I think not just City Hope Church, I think the church, the Big C Church as we call it, I think we have lost sight of the cross. We have lost sight of the power of the cross. We get our eyes so focused on what's going on right here in the world. But here's where I want to push on you. Now listen, all right? Here's what I'm doing right now. In my mind, those of you that have been with us for a while, I love to coach, right? And I love to coach because there's nothing else I feel like that disciples young people and helps young people and grows young. And it's just amazing. But there's so many times, anybody in here that's ever been on a team, your coach makes you do things you don't like to do, right? go run a mile, right? Get down in a defensive stance and do slides until your legs are ready to fall off, right? Your coach asks you to do things. Why? Because they know in the long run, that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to help you win. That's going to help you, right? And so today, what I want to do, Christians, is I want to push on you a little bit, okay? And I want to try to lead you to a new place and in a new way to think in your mind. And this is for all of us, all right? Not just those of you that got it all together. For those of us who don't have it all together, all right? And so let me push on you a little bit today. Let me lead you to a place, and my heart is to get you to a better place, all right? But how in God's name do we read what Christ did for us on the cross? He rescued you from hell. He put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He gave you an opportunity to never, ever, ever have to be in damnation and eternal hell fire. How do we read that and still have no desire to be faithful to him? How do we do that? How do we read what Jesus did on the cross and stay casual and stay halfway in? We stay comfortable. How in the world are we able to do that? There are too many of you and me who call ourselves believers and we have no urgency. We have no desire. We have no surrender. We have no devotion. And when, guess what? When it's convenient, yeah, sure, I'll go worship. And we have no urgency in our life. The only right response to the cross is a life fully surrendered. God, I'm yours. God, I entrust my spirit to you. I entrust my family to you. I entrust my business to you. The only right response, hear me today, church, is a life full of service, a life full of humility, a life full of gratitude, a life full of love. The only right response to the cross is I lay down my life and say, Father, into your hands I commit my life. God, not my will, but yours be done. There's too many Christians that are saying, you know what? I'm going to try my will and I'm going to ask God to bless it. I'm going to try my way, and then God, would you please just do what I want? Would you please do this? We're out here, oh man, like I think I should do this, and I think, and God's going, what? What? I sent my son to die for you? I sent my son so that you would trust me? Well, Pastor Bobby, how do you do that? How do you just say, I surrender all? It's the cross. It's the cross, church. Listen, the cross is the thing that compels me to be a great husband to my wife, Shira. It's the cross. It's the cross that compels me to be a good dad to my daughters. It is the cross that compels me to be a good pastor for you. It is the cross that compels me to love people that are really hard to love. It is only by the cross that compels me to forgive people that I don't want to forgive. That's the only thing that we have to wake up every single day and follow Jesus with everything I've got. It is the cross that we cannot lose sight of. Jesus says, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. And because he said that, you and I now have the choice to say, Father, into your hands I commit my life. I'll give it to you. Church, how long? Here's a question for some of you. How long are we going to be halfway in? How long are we going to give Jesus just a little piece of our life over here? When does this become so real to you that you finally say, Christ is enough? When does it become so real to you that you say, because of the cross, I surrender all? When does it become that for you? When do you finally get to say that? If we're being honest, for most of us, it's when life falls apart and we hit rock bottom. We tried it our way for so long and we do things our way for so long, and sometimes that's just what it takes. We have to get to that place to realize, you know what? If it's all about me, I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to mess it up. But I think the message of not just this sermon series, but the message of Easter, the message of Christ, is because of the cross, I get to surrender all. I get to give my all for Jesus. There's so much we can learn here from him. He finished the mission. He lays down his life. He surrenders it all. I want you to know this. No one took his life. He laid it down. He surrendered it. Completely surrendered, completely obedient, all the way to the end. And we realize that prayer doesn't just help you start. It helps you stay faithful. Prayer isn't the thing that just, hey, God, we, want to start a church. Would you bless it? No. Prayer is the thing that, yes, it helps you start, but it helps you stay faithful. Prayer is the thing that sustains you when life is tough. Prayer is the thing that sustains you when you're tired. Prayer is the thing that sustains you when everything in life feels uncertain. Prayer gives you the strength to stay when everything else wants to quit. I want to just end my sermon a little bit different today. I was just praying through this, and I want to end with a little bit of an illustration. So I want to ask you to do something for me today, all right? I want everybody to participate, okay? I want you to take your left hand, all right, and I want you to just make a fist. Just take your left hand and make a fist. And I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to just to keep it open. All right? So right now, you got a closed fist, and you got an open hand. Now, I want you to take this posture, because I think this really matters. I want you to picture this with me today. All right? Just take a look at your hands. One closed, one open. I think this is how a lot of us live our lives. On one hand, I've got some things in here that I haven't yet surrendered to the Lord. I got some things that I'm holding on to. Now, this is between you and God. I don't know what those things are, but you're probably thinking of some of them right now. I've got a pretty tight grip. I don't know how I let God have control over my life. How do I let God have control over my lips? How do I let God have control, here's a tough one, over my money? Does God have control over my relationship with that person? Now look at the other hand. There are some things in your life that you're surrendered. Here it is, God. I'll spend a few minutes on Sunday with you. I'll try really hard to raise my kids up. I'll tell them about you. And there's some things in your life that you're giving it to him. But for most of us, there's some things that we're holding tight that we haven't yet given up. We haven't surrendered. And what I want you to see here, and I want you to go back in your memory, and I don't have a picture of it, but when Jesus died on that cross, were his hands like this? His hands were wide open because he surrendered it all. He gave God everything, including his life. And so I want you to ask yourself these questions. Which hand am I living out of the most? Would you just take a second and just be honest? Yeah, church stuff is pretty cool, but man, I sure do like to unwind every day after work. There's some stuff that I need to let go. Church stuff, that's cool and all, but we got got bills to pay. How can I give to the church? Man, my wife, I deserve it. She said, I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to hold on to that one. That person hurt me. I'm going to hold on to that one. It's not fair. God allowed this to happen in my life. I'm holding on to that one. Which hand do you really feel today that you're living out of the most? What area today is God calling you, hey, it's time to open that up and it's time to surrender and let me have it? You've been playing games long enough. Everybody knows, you think you got everybody fooled, you don't. God's calling you today. He says, it's time to surrender. It's time to give up. It's time to let me have it. One of the crazy things that doesn't make a lot of sense when you're talking about the Lord, when you're talking about serving God, is you know, right now we got a lot of war going on, right? We hear about it every day. It's on the news. And when you think about a battle going on, when you think about surrender, what do you think? You think, well, if I surrender, I'm going to be taken captive, right? They're gonna take over me, and I'm not going to have any choice, and they're going to make me do whatever they want to do. If I surrender, that means I'm giving up. But in the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite. In the kingdom of God, when I surrender, that's where I get freedom. When I say, God, I'm not going to hold on to this any longer. I'm going to give it to you. That's when I truly experience freedom. But when I'm holding on like this, when I'm in charge, when I'm in control, guess what? That's when I'm in the most bondage. That's when I'm struggling the most, is when I'm trying to hold on and do it my way and do it the way that I think it should happen. And here's Jesus giving us greatest example of surrender. Hands open. God, Father, into your hands do I entrust my spirit. The Bible says he breathed his last breath. Jesus' final words before he died on that cross was prayer. My desire for so many of you is that you would experience freedom. You would truly experience freedom, and that this Easter season would show you that that's possible. Not because of you, but because of what Jesus did for you. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, your whole life has been you. I don't know about that stuff, guys. Your whole life has been, oh, that's all right, that's a cool story, but I'm gonna try it my way. And you've just been white knuckling it. This is how my mind works. We were able to go to Disney a few months ago, and you ride, anybody like roller coasters? Anybody love roller coasters? You like riding a roller coaster? Usually on a roller coaster, you have two people, two different kinds of people, right? There's the people that are holding on for dear life because they're scared to death. And then there's the rest of us, hands high, screaming, just loving life. You know, you see the crazy faces in the pictures when you get off, right? And for us, Sissy's always like, just scared to death. And Marley's like, her leg's out of the rail. Like, it's just nuts. You can't see Emma because she's too small. But anyways, sorry. I just thought about that this week. And I just wonder how many of you here today, man, you're just white-knuckling your life right now. She's like, I got to do it. I got to be in charge. I got to make sure this works. I can't tell people that. I can't surrender that. I can't let that go. And you're just hanging on. And here's Jesus calling out to each and every one of us that's listening today. Hey, would you just surrender? Just put those hands up. Release it. Let me have it. I want it. And God's telling you today, church, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've never truly surrendered all to Him, God is giving us this story of Jesus to help us realize it's not about you. He took all of your sin. He took all of your terrible thoughts and your terrible things that you were going to do in your life. And He says, I'll take it because I want them to be able to surrender. If you haven't taken that step today, man, make this the best Easter week you've ever had. Watch what Jesus does in your life and surrender. Say, God, I give you my life. I surrender today. Most likely, the statistics say the majority of you in here would consider yourself a Christian. You would consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And maybe today there's some sanctification taking place. There's some areas in your life where you're realizing, man, I got a death grip on that. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's an addiction. It's a private, secret sin struggle that nobody else knows about or you think nobody else knows about, and God's speaking to you today and He's saying, hey, it's time to let it go. Jesus died on the cross so that you could let it go, not so you had to carry it the rest of your life. It's time. Maybe for some of you in here today, God's calling you to something higher. A new position, a new role, a new service opportunity, to disciple someone, and God's stirring in your heart. Hey, it's time. It's time to surrender your will for my will. Whatever it is, if it's salvation, if it's sanctification, if it's surrender, can I just, with all I got, I just want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus. Just say yes. What He did on the cross is enough. We've been ending our sermons and series with a prayer. And this week, I want to challenge you leading up to Easter Sunday. The prayer challenge for this week is the prayer of trust. It's just a simple prayer of trust. Every morning, before I get up, before I start anything else going on, say this simple prayer. Father, my life is in your hands. My future is in your hands. Today, I trust you with everything. Everything. I want to challenge you to pray that prayer for the next 7 days and mean it. When anxiety raises its ugly head, when fear creeps in this week, when you start trying to control everything again, here's what I want to encourage you to do. And literally take this posture. Look down at your hands. God, I'm not gonna let fear rule me this week. I give it to you. I'm not gonna let this addiction rule me this week. I give it to you. Every day, maybe every hour. But this week, when those things start creeping up, would you just say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Father, into your hands I give you whatever this is. And this week, just remind yourself that you can trust Him. So as we move into a time of response, we're going to have a couple of response times today. And this first response time is specifically for you personally, all right? I want you to be I'm giving you a little bit of permission here. Be a little bit selfish right now, okay? We'll turn the page here in a second and begin to outward think. But I think when we pray, there's two sides of it, right? There's stuff for me in my life, and then there's stuff for the people around me that I love, that God's called me to. And so right now, for these next few minutes, I wanna give you a challenge. If you've been with us for a while, you know, again, on the fifth Sunday, we have a prayer service, and we're serious about this, and we want to give you freedom to respond to how God's stirring in your heart. But I want you to be thinking of yourself right now. What in my life is God calling me to release? What in my life do I have a death grip on that God's calling me to let go? God's calling me to repent. God's calling me to surrender. Now, here in a minute, we're gonna have a time where we're gonna move around the room. And maybe just for you is just sitting there and just surrendering. We have a couple stations set up here. We've got these chairs over here on this side. We got some chairs over here on this side. And this is just a simple, what we call it, the prayer chair. And it's just an opportunity for you to come and sit down, and for our church leaders, our deacons, our prayer team, your small group, your friends, to come and rally around you and pray for you. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to tell anybody what's going on. But just come up and sit down, and our team is ready to come and pray over you. Say, God, I need you. Maybe that's the step you need today. Back in the back, there's two tables. Back in the back, and there's some communion cups. And the instructions for communion are here on the screen, and what it is and why we do it and who can take it. And maybe today, this is just an opportunity for you to remind yourself, God, what you did by sending your son Jesus, man, we celebrate that today. And maybe you need to go take communion as a family. You need to just remind yourself that I surrender all, and just recommit your heart, recommit your family today. But for this first response time, this is for you. Now listen, the enemy is going to fight you. He doesn't want you to move. He doesn't want you to get up. He doesn't want you to do anything in here today. And he's going to try to convince you to stay right here. Oh, just stay here. You can't move. But don't listen. The cross should compel you to listen. Not Bobby, not my words, not anybody around you. The cross of what Jesus did for you and I should be the reason why you say, you know what, I need prayer. I want to pray. I gotta repent. I gotta go do it. And so I'm gonna pray, and then when I'm done praying, we're just gonna take a few moments. Our team's gonna sing a little bit over us, and there's freedom in this place to move around. I'm just going to ask you to be willing to say, God, I surrender all. If you need somebody to pray with you, man, just come. Just have a seat and watch what the Lord does. Father, I just ask you now, Lord, as we celebrate what you did on that cross, as we remember the sacrifice that you gave so that we didn't have to, Lord, would that be the thing that compels us to take a step today? Not our ego, not a popularity, not any worrying about what other people are going to think. God, may we just focus on the cross, and that be the thing that compels us to take a step of obedience today. There's no way that we can be reminded of the cross and stay the same. Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as their personal Savior, they've never fully given you their life, they have questions, may they take that step today. May they fully surrender today. And Father, would you use these next few moments in our lives as we surrender to find the freedom that we've so desperately been searching for? Lord, there's so many people under the sound of my voice right now that the enemy has in bondage. Nobody may know. Would they find freedom today in you, Jesus? Not in City Hope Church. It's not about us. It's all about you, Lord. May we be real today. May we be authentic today. Even if it's a little uncomfortable. So, Father, bless these next few moments as we respond to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As Joseph and the team lead us, would you just move? Would you be obedient to what? Would you just say, you know what? Here I am. Here I am. Let's take a few moments and allow the Lord to use this time in our day. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website.
God bless you and have a wonderful day.